Our series on the text of the year, Be Holy Because I Am Holy. We've just been singing about how holy is God. Jan last week challenged us about our priorities, our holy priorities. We were asked, how do we juggle our lives when our priorities should be God? Jan reminded us last week that if we want to lean heavily on God, he should have the higher priority than everything else. He should have a higher priority than accepting the approval of others. And as we looked at the passage last week, we were encouraged to pray for the desire to prioritize God more, to press on, pressing on, to desire God more, not to let our past mistakes hold us back, but to respond, not out of guilt, but out of thanks and out of the love that God has for us. Priorities last week. Holy diaries this week. So, my question at the start of this morning, how is your walk with God today? Question I've asked here in the pulpit before. I'm sure many of us have asked that question or been asked that question in the past. If we were really listening to the message that Jan was bringing last week that God had laid on our heart, surely we should have seen a change in our priorities in response to what we heard and the challenges that we received. And as we look today at the theme of holy diaries, building on that priority of having God as the centre, then our work, our rest, our daily lives should be being holy because we have prioritised God more. As we heard last week, as we were reminded again, that's what we're being called to do. And if we haven't made any changes in this last 7 days, the question is, why not? What is it about our lives that means we aren't prioritising God? And as we look at our theme today of holy diaries, I ask that question again. How is our walk with God today? Because if we're prioritising God, if we're looking at making our daily lives holy because God is there at the centre, then maybe we need to make some changes. And so we come to the passage that Clarissa read and that Hannah has touched on, and you'll think you're going to hear the same message again this morning from me. But maybe that's the message that we need to hear, because God has to keep telling us again and again and again. So firstly, expectations. I think it was Hannah alluded to the fact that Jesus' parents, along with everybody else, made their way to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. At the start of their year, they knew that this time of year, they would be traveling to Jerusalem. It was expected of them. Expectations, so many expectations placed upon us. For Mary, for Joseph, for the people of Israel, there was an expectation that they would travel to Jerusalem for Passover, that they would travel with their friends and their families, their neighbours, they'd walk their way towards Jerusalem and they'd meet up with other people and catch up on all the news that had gone on since last they were together. There was an expectation that as part of their life of following God, that is what they would do. I suppose for us as Christians, when we look at our year at the beginning of the year, we know that we're always going to be celebrating Easter and Christmas and Harvest and Advent and Lent and Pentecost. Those are the things within our Christian calendar that we expect to have each year. We expect to focus on. I don't know about you, but when you're planning your year, maybe you don't plan your year that far in advance. We are usually planning ours about 15 months in front of ourselves. But when we're looking at our next year, we're thinking about this. Easter's here and Christmas is here and we're going to fit a visit in to so-and-so there and we're going to try and have our holiday there. And we put all those various things within our diaries. And there are things that are part of our Christian walk, aren't there? The big things somehow are so much easier to fit in. Or those one-off things that we try and do each year. Perhaps it's that visit to Great Aunt Maud. Perhaps it's that visit we try to do once a year with people that we used to maybe work with or the people that we try and meet up with. And somehow those big things, those annual things, are much easier somehow to fit into our year as we look at a year in front. But when we come down to our daily lives, how do we balance out? Or if we're looking at a week or a month, how do we balance out the things that we want to do or that we ought to do? And where does where what God wants us to do fit into that? Does God fit in at all? Does he have any place in the decisions that we're making? Do we squeeze him in the gaps, as we were reminded last week, or do we make him our top priority? And I wonder what's driving the decisions that we're making to live our lives day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Is it driven by our faith or what others are expecting of us? Is it driven by God or is it driven by meeting expectations or trying to prove something to someone else? Are we so desperate to show that we are indispensable or to prove that we're worthy of a promotion or to make sure that we're popular, that that is the thing that is driving the actions we're taking day by day and year by year? But somehow God isn't up there at the top and everything else is crowding in. We look at this passage. I wonder if when you read this passage or you heard it read this morning, how many of us condemned Mary and Joseph for failing to notice that they hadn't got their son with him? Maybe if there was some newspapers around at the time, they would have had headlines that looked something like this. Child abandoned as parents chat. Next one. How could they do it? Oh, that accusation. We're so good at blaming. Forgotten child left to fend for themselves or himself. Or this is the real name and shame with pictures. Irresponsible parents. Do you know how many of us find it easier to be critical about someone else because what we're trying to do is detract and distract them from our own attentions and our own actions? If we feel vulnerable, what do? We point it in another direction. We point our fingers. I wonder how many of you this year, if you've been asked to think about something positive, maybe to do with church, you've come up with the biggest, longest list of the things that you don't like. How many of you found time and thought of things to give thanks for and what part we're playing in that? We find it so easy sometimes to point the finger somewhere else, to match up the expectations that people are placing on us, and we forget that we are called to live holy lives. Be holy, said God, because I am holy. So how is your walk with God today? So expectations. Who are we trying to please in our day-to-day lives? Secondly, living those daily lives. I wonder if you've ever been in one of those really group situations where you're asked, tell us your name and a little bit about yourself. I always prefer it if I go first before Ian. But, you know, sometimes how do we define ourselves? Do we define ourselves by our name, our gender, our nationality, who we're married to, what we do, the things that are important to us by our faith. All of us at some point or other will have had to answer that question. And we're going to watch a video, just a very short video clip this morning of someone who did have to answer that question. And it was someone who has been one of the two candidates who's been nominated as the Baptist Union president at some point to be elected shortly, who will be our president of the Baptist family in the future. And the president of the Baptist Union, of the Baptist family, is a role where they represent us as a Baptist family, part of the Baptist family, nationally and internationally. They represent us at civic and at government events. This is a role where expectations are placed upon them. I can tell you from working in Baptist House and that national role we used to have, oh, the complaints that churches would make if they asked for the president to come out and visit them in their presidential year and they didn't get the date they wanted, or they didn't get a date at all. Expectations. This role that Jeff is one of the two candidates to be nominated for has so many expectations placed upon them. And this is how Jeff describes himself, who he is, and the message that he would bring. We'll watch it.
My name's Jeff Colmer. I'm the regional minister and team leader of the Central Baptist Association. I live in Milton Keynes with my wife, Kaz. We have two older sons who are married, and we've got three gorgeous grandchildren. Can I tell you about an experience I had back in 2015? It was at the beginning of the year, and as I looked at the year ahead, one of my hopes was that I might see a kingfisher. I'd never seen one before, and it was my intention to get in touch with the Buckinghamshire Bird Society and to say to them, where can I go that there might be the likelihood of seeing a kingfisher? Well, on the 2nd of January, we'd been out for a walk, we were coming back this way, and along this stream here, I saw this bird throttling towards us. And as it went by, I followed it, and the light caught the bird. And I saw that there was this flash of orange and bright blue, and it was indeed the kingfisher. There's a poem that begins, "As kingfishers catch fire," and that was my exact experience. This has changed the way that I walk along this stretch of park, because whenever I come out this way, I'm always watching for the kingfisher. I'm looking for the kingfisher. And I've seen the kingfisher on a number of occasions, but it is occasional, and whenever it happens, it's a surprise. It's a surprise, and there's that sense of this being one of those moments of grace. It's a gift. This seems to me to be a very helpful image of what it means to be attentive to God, being on the lookout for God, hearing God's music, catching God's scent, feeling God's touch, tasting God's goodness.
Being attentive to God. So often, if you're like me, we kind of contain God in a box. We contain him to come into church on a Sunday morning, or to a midweek meeting, or in our time of prayer, and we forget that we need to be attentive to him at all times and in all that we do day by day. When Jeff started off to describe himself, he was by his name and who he was married to and the job that he did, and then, I don't know about you, but his face came to life and there was just like a joy when he talked about that moment when he saw the kingfisher for the first time and how he's used that moment to impact on his life. Where do we allow God's joy to fill our hearts so that in all that we do day by day, because he's central, we allow that joy to spread to those that we're coming across, because we are attentive in all that we do day by day. If we try to live our lives pleasing others, and I know that as Christians that's what we feel we need to do, and that is so often what we do, we end up being exhausted, because that's not what God is asking us to do. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Is that true for us today, for this week that we've got coming up? Are we so busy planning our weeks that we've got no room to allow God in, to be attentive to what God may want us to show us or to do or to be there at the heart of our plans? We need to learn to develop a pattern and a rhythm in our lives where God is central. Jan was talking about that last week, but the problem is if we don't do that, our lives are so much the poorer. We are the ones that are losing out. Hannah reminded us this morning when she was reading the passage and talking to the children that it took Mary and Joseph a whole day to realize that Jesus wasn't with them. And as she talked about with the children, what would that have been like? How would that have made them feel? We had the words upset. We had the words sad. We can't begin, unless we've lost our own child, to get through how sick we must have felt, how sick they were feeling, maybe as they lost their child. Maybe in their heads they were condemning themselves. Why didn't I go and check that Jesus was with us? Maybe they would have thought to themselves, why did I rely on someone else telling me he was there? I should have checked myself. And in that moment where they realized that Jesus was missing, there was that sense of being powerless, that sense of being out of control. And they raced back to Jerusalem. But the horror and the panic wasn't over when they got to Jerusalem. For 3 days, they searched for him. And then they found him in the temple. For Mary and Joseph, as we've been reminded this morning, they travelled for a day before they realised Jesus was missing. How soon do we realise that God is missing from our lives? Is it when we're partway through the day and we've realised we've not stopped, perhaps, to even greet God at the beginning of our day or to spend time reading our Bible or in prayer with him? Or is it after several days or a few weeks, even a few months? Is it when things start to go wrong or when we realise that our priorities have actually become too worldly and not how God would have us live? Is it because the way we live our lives isn't reflecting what God would have us do? It is so easy to let those good habits go and allow the bad habits to come into our lives and not to notice when it happens. Mary and Joseph expected that Jesus would have left Jerusalem with them and their whole community, their friends and their family and all those who are traveling back home. But Jesus didn't come back with them. We expect God to always be with us, whatever we are facing. And yet we are so lax and so lazy so often about our relationship with him. If we look back over our own lives, maybe you were someone who used to come to church twice on a Sunday, and now it's once. Or maybe it's only twice in the month, or once in the month. Because life has crowded in, and even on the times we get to church, we've not quite managed to get here because so much other else has crushed in on us that we only managed to get here for part of the morning. All of us have been at those times where everything else is crowding in on us, and somehow even coming to church no longer has the same priority. And if that doesn't apply to you for church, maybe it applies to us for our prayer times, or the times we read our Bibles, or the other 6 days in the week where we aren't being attentive to what God is saying to us. And so I ask again, how is your walk with God today? Because it's a question I've had to ask myself too. Is God present or is he missing? And if he's missing, have we even noticed? Expectations. Whose expectations are we bowing down to? As we live our daily lives, is God there or is he missing? And then thirdly, living sustainable lives. I used to do scripture exams when I was young. I don't know how many more of you used to do that, if it was something that was just down in the southwest, but there was a few people nodding. And I can remember this was one of those stories that I would have had to learn for a scripture exam and ask the questions. And one of the questions I know we were asked was, and what did we find Jesus doing when his parents found him? And I would always remember, if I was asked about this passage, the one thing I would always remember would be that Bible verse. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? That was the memory verse I had to learn, and it's amazingly stuck with me. And the fact that as we read this passage, we heard that those who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his teaching. But it wasn't until I reread this passage a couple of weeks ago that I realized and had forgotten, but noticed again, the words that Mary greets Jesus with in verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" It's that finger of blame again, isn't it? So easy to blame someone else rather than taking responsibility for ourselves. If we go back to the beginning of the Bible, there it was, right in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve blaming the serpent, even though they had failed to do what God had called them to. And as we look through the pages of the Old Testament, we see that again and again repeated, where we blame and we see the people of God blaming everybody else rather than themselves, rather than taking responsibility for themselves. Jesus' response, lovely response. He was doing his father's work. It wasn't him who'd lost the way. It was them that had forgotten him. And today, holy priorities, building on holy diaries, building on holy priorities last week, means that we need to live a sustainable life where God is our priority and he is part of our daily living. And if we'd watched the video a bit longer, we would have heard that Jeff knew and understands what it's like to have so much pushing God out of our lives, the distractions and the noise and the busyness and the anxiety, and how it's never been more important than now to be proactive at focusing in on God. The text for the year, "Be holy because I am holy," means that we need to incorporate that into our everyday, daily lives. And if we're not, we do need to make some changes. We need to find ways to notice when God has slipped away because we've turned away from him. Not just when things go wrong, but in our normal rhythm of life too. I'm going to show another video now. Many of you will have seen this before, and I make no apologies for showing it again because it beautifully demonstrates what it is that I've been trying to say this morning. It's a little clip from when those of us who came to do the Bible Explore course would have seen it, and it was talking about the importance of reading our Bible, but it's true about our relationship with God. Thank you, Sam.
Ultimately, there are two ways to do life. Either we put the small stuff in first, hobbies, TV, social media, shopping, and all the other small stuff that can so easily fill up our lives. We start with the small stuff, and then we find we've got no room left for the big stuff. Reading the Bible, and praying, and getting to church. Even though we believe it's all really important, it just never quite seems to fit in. A friend of mine summed it up really well. He said, "I read the Bible almost every day, almost on Monday, almost on Tuesday, almost on Wednesday." But the better way to do life is to put the big stuff in first. I will read the Bible first thing and make it a priority. I will pray. I will get to church. And then, surprisingly, all the small stuff fits in after all. It's all about priorities. So let's put the Bible in first place in our lives on a daily basis.
Let's put God in our life in first place, day by day. As many of you know, I was off work about this time last year following back surgery. And one of the things I was told to do in order to keep my back as healthy as I could, because it's still not absolutely wonderful, is I have to do exercises twice a day. And bizarrely, on those days when I'm on a kind of a normal working day, so to speak, I never, ever have a problem at fitting my morning exercises in, because it's part of my morning routine. At the end of the day, on those working days, and I know ministers only work one a day a week, but just work with me, I really struggle to fit that second lot of exercises in because I'm tired and it's just too much effort. But I'll try and remember to force myself to do them, because I know that when I'm in bed that night, if I don't, my back's grumbling away. But actually, on the days when I have a bit more time and my breakfast or my morning routine isn't the same on those non-working days, quite regularly, I'd have gone a whole day and I won't have done my exercises at all. And then I know, because my back really is complaining. But I don't notice until my back is complaining to me. And so often, if you are anything like me, our relationship with God is a bit like that. When we're walking with him daily, we are just richer from that experience. When the choices that we're making about how we're spending our time and what activities we're doing and the decisions that we're making are coming from that place where we have set and started and included God within our lives, then actually our inner spiritual selves, the priorities, everything else falls more naturally into place. And God is directing our feet and our actions and our words. Philippians 4, verse 8, that well-known passage, verse, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Oh, I need that nailed to my head. Because on those days when that doesn't happen, when I don't do my exercises, or when I leave God to one side, or when I fail to keep God alive and my relationship going and flourishing, then my attitudes, and probably true for you, our attitudes and our choices and our words all reflect the relationship we have with God day by day in our diaries, in our daily living, walking around lives. And that's when we become more critical, when we find it easier to blame others, when we become more worldly and less Christ-like. Expectations. Whose expectations are ruling your day? As we live out our daily lives, who is it are we noticing is pulling and pushing our buttons? Are we being attentive to God in all that we do? And as we look at our last point, as we live our sustainable lives, where are those holy priorities? Where is our relationship with God? Because if we're making the right choices, then everything else will move more naturally into a better shape. Our last song reminds us that we need to have the living breath of God breathing new life into our willing soul. And we're going to just pray now as we just come before we sing this song. And just invite us once again, God, to come into our life. Father God, help us to be attentive to you in our lives day by day. Help us to notice what it is that you're wanting us to do, and to help us day by day to have that richness of our relationship, enabling us to live and allow all the other priorities to fit into place. Lord, we know sometimes that can be hard. Actually, it's hard nearly every day. But Lord, help us to keep focusing on you, to keep prioritizing you, to keep remembering that in order for our lives to be holy, we need to allow you in to make them holy too. And so as we sing this song, we invite you once again to come within us so that your joy will be seen in all that we do. Amen.